Thank you, Chandra. Now, in just a moment, you're going to be asking yourself a question. And that question is, what do Whoopi Goldberg and the Rolling Stones have to do with Jesus and the parable of the mustard seed? Let me see if I can answer that question for you. The fact of the matter is that one of the, you know, a couple of the things that I have really enjoyed over the years has been the humor and, you know, the comedy of Whoopi Goldberg. I also have appreciated and been the recipient of her generosity, for she was one of the major donors to a shelter for homeless women that I helped to build while I was living in San Diego. But I've always liked her humor, and I've enjoyed not only her stand-up act, but also her acting career. And then I thought about this, about the Rolling Stones this week, when I had the TV on while I was over in Sacramento for annual conference, and I had the Today Show was on, and Matt Lauer was interviewing Ringo Starr, the Beatles drummer, for those of you who are too young to remember. And he was talking about, well, he got in one band, and then he got into a better band, and then he got into a better band, and then I heard him say, and then I got into the best rock and roll band that ever existed. And I found myself saying out loud, no, you've got it wrong. You're the second best rock and roll band, because the Rolling Stones are the best rock and roll band ever. I love their music. Well, anyway, so here's the point. There's a movie that Whoopi Goldberg was in a good while ago, and it was entitled Jumping Jack Flash. It wasn't a great movie, but the title for that movie was taken from one of the Rolling Stones songs, Jumping Jack Flash, in which Mick Jagger, the lead singer of the Stones, really works overtime. Really working hard on the song and everything. And the plot's a bit thin, but at one point in the movie, she discovers that the clue to the mystery she's trying to solve is in the lyrics of the song Jumping Jack Flash. But she doesn't have access to an internet search, so she has to keep listening to the song over and over and over again to try and decipher what Mick Jagger is singing, to see if she can get the right clue, you know, to both move the plot along and to solve her problem. But at one point, it's great. She's listening and listening, and finally she just says, oh, Mick, speak English. It's exactly that feeling that I have when I read some of the parables of Jesus. Now, not the ones like the Good Samaritan and all. Those are the kind of ones that just smack you right, you know, right in the face and right in the heart, you know, and it's easy to stay with them. But there's some like the fig tree that withers and some of the others, and including this one about the mustard seed. There's several of these that I just want to say, oh, Jesus, speak plainly, you know, speak English here. Be a little more clear so that I can hear it, understand it, and then act on it. But yet, there's so many of these parables, the small ones especially, that are just difficult to get a read on and difficult to understand. And even the story, as Joshua read it for us this morning, doesn't help, because Mark writes and says, and there's an explanation for this, but Jesus only told the disciples. He didn't tell the rest of the crowd. So the explanation is not there. And yet, even these small parables are part of Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God. And while they might puzzle us, they are worthy of a continued look on our part to see if we can gain some wisdom and understanding from them. Okay, enough of Whoopi and the stones. But let's look closer at what Jesus has to say. And let me begin by doing that, by asking you a question. What is it that you are excited about this morning? What is it that you personally are excited about this morning? Is it the spiritual growth that's taking place in your life? Is it a new relationship that's developing in which kindness is shared? Is it an opportunity for service that you've seen and you've begun to respond to? Is it just something general? You can't wait to see what tomorrow's going to bring. What's exciting you at the moment? Unfortunately, in our world, there are many people who would have to answer nothing. There is nothing that truly excites me about life anymore. And their lives are full of perhaps cynicism, or bitterness, or disappointment, or just weariness. And I think, if truth be told, that in some corner of our lives, there's some of those feelings that exist and that are tugging at us for one reason or another. And it's easy to become like that and to become controlled by those negative attitudes and dynamics of life. When I got home last night from annual conference, I picked up, forgot to cancel my newspaper for the week. And so I had a whole bunch of newspapers stacked up, and I was flipping through the headlines, and I could have really been discouraged by what I was reading. You know, a highly respected football coach is convicted on Friday of 45 counts of child sexual abuse. I could have been disappointed and cynical about, there were some more reports about bombs going off and terrorists killing people indiscriminately. There was a story of a natural disaster or two that, and isn't it always true, the natural disasters seem to prey on the poorest among us, the people of Bangladesh or Pakistan or folks who are struggling in our own country. There's hunger and there's disease that gets reported on daily. And then there was all those stories about all those politicians of ours who managed to act like fools and get themselves in the paper. I read it all last night, and it would have been very easy to become very cynical and to let despair creep into my attitude. It's very easy to justify a negative attitude in life. But there's a danger in that, isn't there? Maybe that's the comfortable place to be, or at least a familiar place, no matter how uncomfortable it might be. But we find ourselves there. And yet, if you allow yourself to succumb to those attitudes, what it does is it devours all the energy and enthusiasm that you might have for life. It cuts the nerves that lead directly to joy and satisfaction in life. And I'll tell you, it keeps you from achieving your God-given purpose in life. See, this is the thing about Jesus. Even when he's being less than direct, he's talking to us from a perspective that is markedly different than the ones that were held by the people in his day and time, and by the kind of people he would meet if he was out preaching in our day and time. You see, his whole life was based on offering everyone, including you and me, a new view about ourselves, about others, and about our world, based on the light of God's love, power, and justice. This is where the mustard seed comes in. Jesus looked at people and he saw them not as they were, but as they might become. You don't believe that? Jesus believed in God's liberating power. And so he looked at an angry, frustrated fisherman and invited him to be the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. He looked at a despised tax collector hiding from the crowd and invited him to be a friend and a follower. He looked at social outcasts and gave them leadership positions. He looked at the unclean of his society and invited them to the table and restored them to fellowship. And in a powerful encounter, he spoke to a Pharisee who was killing Christians and seeking to destroy the church, and invited him to be the disciple to the Gentiles. And away Paul went. Jesus invites us to look at the world with new eyes, people and the world with new eyes. And this is the way that God does things. And this is where the parable of the mustard seed comes in. It may not always appear to be a big thing, a big happening. Apparently, God starts with small things and builds them in to great events and great happenings and great people. The powerful words in this parable are, you know, it starts with that. How small was that seed, Daleen? Just about that big, right? There it is. And he says, yet, but it grows into a bush that protects all of God's creatures. He's saying that's what the kingdom of God is like. It may not be big and flashy at first, but it'll grow into a kingdom that has room for all of us, and in which all of us will be cared for. Do you sense that's true? Do you wish that that was true, but you don't think it is? Well, you know, if you would give Jesus' teaching here a chance, here are some of the things that might happen for you. You will begin to look around every day for mustard seeds, for small signs that the kingdom of God is percolating somewhere and getting ready to grow. If you sense this is true, you won't be so quick to dismiss small and insignificant acts of goodness and just say, oh, they're exceptions to the rule. You'll look at them and say, could that be the kingdom of God breaking out? If you sense this is true, you won't give up on yourself, on others, or this world quite as quickly as you might want to do. You will begin to believe in God's possibilities and will stay attuned to see where they are happening. You will do great things for God because of the small kernels of mercy and kindness and love that God has planted in you. It's a famous story. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but it's about Mother Teresa when she decided to move to India and to begin her work there. She went to the superiors of her order and she said to them, and she was thinking about an orphanage at that time, and she said to the superiors, she said, "I have 3 pennies and a vision from God to build an orphanage in India." And the leadership, being good leaders, what did they say to her? They said, "Teresa, you can't build an orphanage with 3 pennies. And she replied to them and said, "But with God, I can build an orphanage." Started small. And look what a wonderful witness for peace and love in Jesus Christ that was created. You see, the task of the church, when we gather here and when we live our lives together, the task of the church is to look for signs of the kingdom of God. We don't have to create them ourselves. We have to look for the signs of the kingdom of God. We have to live and love with a new perspective that allows us to spot those parts of the kingdom that are popping up. And then we're to mobilize ourselves to offer that opportunity to other people. Jesus has called you to be his disciple. No matter what your situation, no matter what your condition, God has something important for you to do. Let me say that again. No matter what your condition or situation is, God has something important for you to do. And if you believe that, it will change how you feel about yourself, what you think about other people, and what you believe is possible in our world. Believe that, and you will be gifted with new enthusiasm and new excitement for your life. Starting next Sunday, we're going to be jumping off in a whole new direction for 10 Sundays. We're going to have a different format for our worship services. We're going to have singing. We're going to sing the same old songs. We're going to sing some brand new songs, but we're going to sing them in a different way. And we're going to have opportunities to pray in different ways. And we're going to be, I'm going to be preaching, you know, not necessarily scripturally based every Sunday, but I'm going to be using some of the stories of a great preacher by the name of Fred Craddock. And called Craddock Stories by all of his friends and students. And I'm going to bring those so that you can hear them, and then we're going to tie them into the gospel. And we're going to do different things. And then at 10:30, we're going to have a variety of different worships, different opportunities. For 3 of those 10 Sundays, I'm going to teach a Bible study class. The one that I was going to teach during Lent, but it got short-circuited by my neck problems. I'm going to do those. On July 8th, Larry LaPierre is going to offer a presentation. Pastor Daniel's going to teach us some music from Sierra Leone, and we're going to integrate those into our worship service, and we're going to have a couple guest preachers, and things are going to be really different. It'll be a grand opportunity for you to look to see where the kingdom of God is perking, and to see how you can be called into a life of enthusiasm in Jesus Christ. It's going to be a great summer. It'll be our opportunity to practice what Jesus asks us to do. in the parable of the mustard seed. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we tell you truthfully, we want to live our lives on the edge of our seats. And we want to do it for you. So guide us, Lord, to pay attention to your call, to pay attention to those places where the kingdom of God is developing, and help us to respond positively for our own good, for the good of others, and for the good of your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.